Welcome to the Relaxed Running Podcast, the show that helps runners and athletes in running-based sports transform the way they run. Here's your host, Tyson Popplestone.
Hey, just before I do get into today's episode, I'm really excited to let you know that Steigen has come on board as a brand new podcast sponsor. I'm really excited to have these guys on board, specifically because, well, first of all, they were founded by Louis Rowan, an Aussie runner that I really looked up to as a young guy when I was chasing my own athletic pursuits. But more than that, over the course of the years they've been involved in the world of distance running or athletics in general, everybody swears by them. There's no one you speak to about Steigen apparel who says, oh, it was uncomfortable or it wasn't quite right for me. These guys really focus on quality. And I mean, that's just the word that goes around when it comes to these guys. If any of you struggle with blisters, any of you struggle with just uncomfortable gear, I really encourage you to check these guys out. They've got some amazing products, a constantly growing range of products. And as a sponsor of the show, each and any of you, you know what I'm trying to say, you get 15% off their apparel. Simply type in the coupon code RR, as in Relaxed Running, 2024. So that's RR2024. But for now, let me jump into today's episode. What I wanted to do today was just to open up a little bit more about my own marathon training. If you've been listening to the podcast for a little while now, I'm sure you've got a bit of an update on where I'm at and what's been going on in the world of running in general, but more specifically marathon running. In case you haven't, I'll just give you a quick overview. So last year, it was actually January the 1st of 2023, I coincidentally organized a run with a friend who lives in Point Lonsdale, which is my hometown. We went out for, I think I ran 18 Ks or 21 Ks. And I was amazed at the time at the pace that we were running and the fact that I felt relatively comfortable doing it because I hadn't done a whole heap of running at that distance for quite a while. And around about that same time, one of my best mates, James or Jocker, he said to me, he goes, I can imagine you having a second running career in your late 30s where you target a marathon. And there was something about those two events taking place in and around the same time that just sort of lit a spark within me to see whether or not he was accurate. I'd also been following a bit of Matt Fox's work over at Sweat Elite and seeing his sub 220 project or his 220 marathon project where he had set out as a former middle distance runner. Him and I used to race on the track at least once or twice a year. But he had changed and obviously graduated up to the marathon, and it blew my mind to see how fast he was running the distance as more of an 800, 1500 meter man. And so I thought, hey, maybe Jocker's right. Maybe there actually is something in what he's saying. And so, as I said, that spark was lit. But unfortunately, and fortunately now, it's one of those blessing in disguises. At the time, I pretty much decided I was just going to jump straight back into the training that I was doing in 2014 before I retired. Obviously, there were a few little changes. The distance wasn't going to be as immediately as long as what I was running back in 2014. The pace that I was running was obviously different. I had a whole lot of fitness to catch up on. But what was true very quickly was that my body wasn't in the shape that it was required to be in to throw even the intensity that I was throwing at it into my training week. And so as a result, a lot of it was my own fault because I'd put a really short time limit on my goal for the marathon. I wanted to run the Melbourne Marathon, which was about, 8 or 9 months later. And I jumped into pretty intense training quickly when really in hindsight, and even at the time, I think I knew this, I should have been building up more slowly. So last year was absolutely riddled with calf strains and calf injuries. It was one of those injuries that people refer to as the old man injury. Whenever someone strains their calf and they're above the age of 30, everyone assumes it's the old man injury. What I learned, it's not so much the old man injury, it's the underuse injury. And what I mean by that is my calf strains were brought on by the more intense running sessions that I was doing. And so what I needed to do was just bring some, not familiarity, but just gradually incorporate some strength back into my training week, which specifically targeted my calves, but also gradually build up the speed and the distance that I was running some of the faster workouts. So that my calves had an opportunity to actually catch up with what was going on, to get the message about what it was we were trying to do. And so I mean, it was a really frustrating period last year because this happened about 5 or 6 times. Even when I thought I was being smart with my return to running, it still seems to be happening. Like the pace that I was increasing, even though it felt incredibly slow, and I genuinely thought I was taking a really smart approach to the return, I'd constantly have this issue. And so I say all that to say that right now, I've just looked back at Strava and my Training Peaks profile. I've currently got 16 weeks of consistent running under my belt. And a lot of people are surprised by this because for whatever reason, this idea of the old man injury in the calves just seems to have entrenched itself in people's minds. And I can see why. I think a lot of the time it's very easy just to go, okay, this is because of my age and there's the answer. But when you don't actually break down and dig down a little bit, you don't get a full opportunity to really see what's going on. And so luckily for me, I had some incredible access to some of the world's best exercise physiologists. What's his name? Matthew Prine. I've completely blanked his name. The Doctors of Running guest that I had on the Relaxed Running podcast. And I spoke about these injuries specifically. And he pretty much echoed what I'd researched and what I'd started trying to do. And that was, hey, slow down the buildup way more than what you think you even need to do. And then gradually work from there, but even more gradually than what you think. And so my return to running was maybe a month of every second day I would go out. And at the start, I would go out and I would jog very slowly for 1 minute and I'll do a 4 minute walk. And then 2 days later, assuming my calves were okay, I would go out for 90 seconds of really slow jogging and a 3.5 minute walk. And then I would gradually increase it by 30 seconds every second day. So I would gradually work up to 2 minutes of running, 3 minutes of walking, 2.5. You get the idea. Until I got to, I think it was 5 minutes of running, and then I'd take a minute break. And then eventually, over the course of the next couple of weeks, it got to 10 minutes. And it was a really frustrating and slow process. And at the time, I'd started to be in the gym, which I'm going to talk to you about more in this episode. I'd started to go to the gym and do some really targeted, heavy exercises on my calves. And through a combination of these and also a combination of just gradually, once after a month, my body was absorbing the running well, increasing the pace for 100 meters at the end of a run, and then increasing the pace for 100 meters times 2 at the end of a run. And so I'm happy to speak to any of you on this process if it's something that you're struggling with yourself. But the idea with this particular episode is not to speak about my calf issues. The goal there was just to give you a little bit of an overview of where I've come from and where I'm at now and where I hope to be, not only at the end of this year, but over the next couple of years. So between you and I, publicly, I've sort of spoken about the idea of trying to run a sub 2 hour 30 marathon. I don't want to jinx myself, but full disclosure, I've more got my eyes set on this idea of trying to break a 2:20 marathon. So, if you don't know about my history in the sport, I'm not brand new to running. I had a 10-year history on the track. I ran 3:49 for 1500 meters. I ran 8:10 for 3K, 14:24 for 5K. I only dabbled in the 10K once or twice, but I've run around 30:50. For the 10K. I think my 5 and 10K are probably my weakest PBs. I think they both had a lot of room for improvement at the time that I retired. But man, who knows? Maybe that's still on the table. But I say that just to give you a little bit of context of where I'm at, where I'm coming from, because it's been really interesting just to hear some of the comments on YouTube of people saying, this guy's crazy. Like, who does he think he is saying he wants to break 2 hours 30? And rightly so. I mean, if you're new to running and you're saying you wanted to do something like that in 3 years, I would probably say it's a little bit crazy as well. Not impossible, but certainly crazy. So right now, I'm recording this in March of 2024, and I'm currently running 4 days a week. And the 4 days a week is, it's 50 Ks of running. And my goal there is to do this exact training routine for 10 weeks without any niggles, without any injuries, without any pains, without any sickness, hopefully. Not that you can control that as easily. Before I change anything in my training routine. This is a thought that I stole from Gordo Byrne, or more honestly, he actually offered on the Relaxed Running podcast, where he spoke about this idea of people thinking, all right, I'm going to increase my long run, or I'm going to increase some element of my training every single week. And there's a There's a bit of a rule in running, and it's a, I don't know that it's incredibly accurate, but a lot of people say don't increase your training by more than 10% a week. But the problem with a 10% increase in any part of your training over the course of a week is that in 5 weeks of training, you've increased your training load 50%. And that's a huge, huge change. And so in the name of consistency, in the name of building strength, in the name of trying to really develop my cardiovascular, my aerobic fitness, I'm doing this 10-week block. So what is this 10-week block? What does it look like? So currently I'm in my 8th week of this and I haven't had any niggles. I'm starting to feel incredibly fit despite the fact that most of the running is at a zone 2 level heart rate pace or a conversational, almost a jog pace. So Sunday at the moment is 18 Ks, so about 11 miles, and that is at zone 2. It's relatively flat where I live, but whenever I get the opportunity to travel around, like recently I went to the Grampians here in Victoria, sometimes I'll go down to Gippsland, I'll incorporate some hillier runs when I can, but the main idea with the Sunday run is just to see me ticking over this 18 Ks. I'm not overly fussy about the pace. The only way that I'm fussy with the pace of this run at the moment is by saying, okay, it can't be too quick. I do try and keep it in around about that zone 2 area for at least the first 12K. Sometimes towards the end, if my body feels fantastic, I feel as though I've absorbed the training from the week really well, and I feel as though I'm in a little bit of a rhythm and my heart rate creeps up into zone 3, I'm not too stressed about that. It's not a really big problem as long as I'm not spending the entirety of the run in that higher heart rate zone. My goal on a Sunday run is to get to the end feeling as though I could run more quite comfortably. And then obviously with that in mind, it leaves me feeling as though not only can I recover, not only am I going to absorb that work a little more quickly, but it just leaves you with some room to do the rest of the work throughout the week that I have planned without so much concern for, am I going to be fatigued? Am I going to be sore? And am I going to be tired? So Sunday is that. On a Monday, I'll tell you my running days first and then I'll tell you what I'm doing in between. So Tuesday is my next run. At the moment here in Point Lonsdale, we've recently started a social running group. So we meet at the local cafe at 6:30 a.m. on a Tuesday morning and it's a run with athletes of all different levels, of all different paces. And so it's about a 5.5K loop, but my house is about 2.5K from where we start. So usually about 6:15 on a Tuesday morning, I'll get up and run what is always the slowest K or two of my training week down to the cafe, partly because I'm warming up, partly because I'm half asleep, partly because my body's like, wait, what are we doing? What, we're back running again? I don't know what it is about that Tuesday morning run to the cafe, but it just feels horrific. Then naturally, the slower group that I usually join on this Tuesday morning run is running at around like 5:40 to 5 to 6 minute K pace. So for me, I go, you know what? Like this is an ultimate recovery run. It's a chance to get some time on my legs. It's a chance just to turn the legs over, to have a chat with some local athletes, a chance just to go out and enjoy it. And then we'll go finish with a coffee at the end of that. So I've usually done about 7.5 to 8K by that stage. I'll sit down for a long black or an espresso, and then 20 minutes later, I'll jog that 2.5K home. So lately, the Tuesday run has been around about that 10 to 11K mark, and it's probably the slowest run of my week, but deliberately. Then on Thursday is probably the session that I enjoy the most. And I think I enjoy it the most because it's what I didn't get the opportunity to do for so long. And that is actually go out and just open up the pace a little bit. So I was quite hesitant with my approach to this Thursday run for a long time, just because it was when I picked up the pace, the intensity, the volume, that I started to have calf strains. And so Gordo Byrne, once again, has been incredibly helpful with my return to this style of running. So originally, as I mentioned at the outset of this podcast, I was starting with just some strides at the end of some of my easy runs. By the time I decided to actually make this Thursday a session or a dedicated session, I was probably up to running around 150 meters relatively comfortable at quite a fast pace. And when I say quite a fast pace, I mean maybe 70 to 80% of my maximum pace with some recovery. And I'd done that 3 or 4 times. So I knew at least that my body seemed to be handling really well. But one thing that Gordo Byrne recommended is that, okay, if you're returning to running after something like that, let's go out And we're going to do 8 times 200 meters. The first four are going to be at half marathon pace. So for me, for where I was at, that was operating. I was estimating that I was around about maybe 350K pace. I think I've got that right. I want to say that's around about an hour 20. I might be slightly off with that. I don't have the numbers in front of me. But essentially, I was doing the first 4x200 meters at half marathon pace, and then the last 400 meters or four times, sorry, the last four 200 meters I was doing at 10K pace. And I was estimating that was around 35 minutes, which might have been at the time slightly faster than I was actually capable of, but it just seemed like a pretty good place to round it off to. Then he says, with that Thursday session, only do that particular session once every fortnight. And if you complete the 8x200 meters in the way that I just outlined and you felt fine, there was no niggles, there was no strains, there was no problems that was going to hold you back, then the next time you go out, you're going to do the same session, but you're going to do it over 400 meters. And then a fortnight later, you're going to do it over 600, 800, and then a K. And so that's exactly where I'm at. I've just done the 8x800 meter sessions 2 weeks ago. It's Wednesday as I'm recording this. So it means tomorrow I'm going to be out there and doing my first 8x1K efforts, which is really exciting. Really enjoy it. This session is the first four feel relatively easy, as they should. If you're feeling difficult in the first four of these reps, you're probably going too hard. The way out for me on the K reps is very slightly uphill. So I have to work naturally like slightly harder if I'm going to hit the pace. Then the way down is just more of a jog. Very focused on technique, very focused on rhythm, very focused on relaxation and just getting back into a routine there. The weeks in between these sessions, so as I said, I'm doing these once a fortnight. The weeks in between I had been doing, I'd started with a 6K tempo run. And initially that tempo run was at about 4 minutes per K, which felt relatively comfortable. It was faster than all my other running was, but it'd been more and more comfortable. And I just didn't want to throw too much at myself too quick with the thought of these calf strains in mind. And so that felt really good. And so gradually I reduced the time closer to 3:50. And at the moment, every second week, I'm doing a 30-minute threshold at around about 3:45 per K pace, give or take a little bit. Saturday is another recovery run. I'm usually doing around 8K, depending on the intensity, the weight sessions and things that I've done during the week, which I'll talk about in a moment. I'll sometimes finish with 5x15-second hill efforts. And the idea there for the last 12 months has just been to gradually incorporate a little bit more pressure, a little bit more intensity through the calves, but over a shorter burst just to develop that strength. I'm also doing 3 strength sessions a week. So that means on a Monday, on a Wednesday, and on a Friday, I'll incorporate some form of strength. They're the days that I'm currently not running. I'm using Angelo Gingerelli's Finish Strong Endurance Strength book. He's got an off-season phase, a base and a build phase and a taper phase. So I'm currently using his base phase of running strength. It's like a 45-minute session in the gym twice a week. It's really enjoyable. I like the variety that it offers. You can find that book pretty easily online. I also have done a podcast with him on the Relax Running podcast. So if you wanted to check that out, just type in Angelo Gingerelli, Relax Running. The episode will come up. And then the third session a week, I'm doing a Pilates session, which I really enjoy. It's a completely different kind of strength. I've obviously spoken to a number of different Pilates or strength coaches on the show, and each of them recommend or at least talk about the benefits of Pilates. And it's true. It's such a different workout to the gym sessions, but at the same time, it's blown my mind just how good I feel after a session. Personally, I kind of find the sessions boring. I'm just doing it online. Most of the sessions I'm doing with a chick called Move with Nicole, I don't find them that exciting, but I always feel good after it. So that's where I'm at right now. But after the 10 weeks, I'm going to make one change to my training routine. And that is I'm going to incorporate a midweek run of around 10 to 12Ks. And so the reason that I'm going to do that is because if I can get to 10 weeks of consistent running without the niggles, injuries, et cetera, that I said I'm trying to avoid at the moment, then 10 weeks is a fairly good chunk of time to suggest that your body's handled that well. And so the goal then will be to do 10 weeks with this extra 10 to 12K run in my week. That'll probably be on a Wednesday, that midweek long run. And that'll take me up to just over between like 60 and 65 Ks a week. I'm going to gradually increase, assuming I get through that next 10-week block as well, I'm going to gradually I'm going to implement some longer runs on the Sunday. I think in my base phase, I'll probably get up to around 21K, and I'll talk around the build-up to the marathon in a moment. But that'll leave me, over the course of the next 20 weeks, that'll have me up around that 70 to 80K mark over the next 30 weeks, obviously that 80 to 90K mark, which is a really, really nice place to start a marathon build-up, particularly with the times that I'm trying to run. So this year, with that model, with that approach, I'm currently sitting in March. I'm going to run my first race in such a long time in Ballarat next month. I'm going to run the 10K there. And I've got my goal set at around 35 minutes for 10K. It might be slightly faster than what I'm capable of at the moment. I don't know. In saying that, my fitness is increasing rapidly. So maybe I will be close. But I'm going to run that first. And then I'm hoping in around June or July, I can find a half marathon here in Victoria where I can have a really good hard hit out just before my marathon build-up begins. It'd be nice to know roughly where I'm at, get a bit of a gauge of what I might be capable of for the marathon at that particular time of the year. And then I'll start probably a 12 to 14-week build-up to the marathon. I've got my I don't have a registration again just because of the fact it sold out so incredibly quickly. I don't have my registration booked for Melbourne because it sold out ridiculous, like faster than it ever has before. We thought last year was crazy. But what I realized was there was a lot of people towards the Melbourne Marathon who contacted me saying, hey, you can have my ticket. So I'm kind of just going to put my eggs in that basket. I've flirted with the idea of potentially trying to run Sydney. Sydney's about a month earlier. I think just in the name of ease and efficiency, it's easy just to keep my whole family here than try and get up to Sydney at that time of the year. So Melbourne Marathon is in October. At the moment, it's really hard to say what time I think I can run. I'd love to target breaking 2 hours 45. And I'm saying 2 hours 45, even though it's slower than the 2 hours 40 mark I set myself last year. I'd much rather go into it with that mindset. And if I'm faster, fantastic. But I just don't want that pressure on myself to have to go faster in training than what I'm capable of. 2 hours 45 is a long way off 2 hours 20. And that's why this plan that I've set myself is over 3 years. Potentially next year, I might run two marathons. And then the year after that, do another two. I think in 2 or 3 years, there's no reason 2 hours 30 can't be broken because the marathon strength and the familiarity that you get with an event like the marathon obviously just increases so much as you do more and more of them. And so things like gels and tapering and carb loading and recovery and preparation is going to change, and I'll find out what works, what doesn't, etc. But that's pretty much where I'm at the moment. I don't see the actual structure of my training week changing too much, with the exception of just introducing some more runs. The beauty of the work that I do is that I've got some flexibility in the way that I approach my training. I've got plenty of time in my week to incorporate a little bit more. I wouldn't say plenty. I mean, kids take up a lot of spare time as well. But I mean, I've got enough time to do the work that I need to do. At the moment, it's been really interesting learning about gels and learning about hydration and so many things like that. As much as I can, I'm trying to fuel for my current training as naturally as I possibly can. I like the idea of eating really whole natural foods. I don't like the idea of leaning too much on supplements and on gels. Now, Precision Fuel and Hydration are absolutely amazing, and I'm going to use those during the 12-week build-up. But I think so much of the training that I'm doing now, as I'm only really doing a maximum of 18Ks, I think you can quite easily get away with not running with gels for an 18K run. I think as it gets up above sort of 21, and especially towards the latter phases of a marathon build-up where I'll be running sort of 35 to 40Ks a number of times, I'll start to come up with more of a structured plan with how I use the gels. In saying that, recently I have actually been taking a 30-gram carb gel about 30 minutes into my 18K run. I don't know if I need it or I just enjoy something to break up the run, a little treat to look forward to. So the idea there is if I can avoid taking on as much of this sort of artificial sugars and things as I possibly can, I just feel better mentally. I'm that kind of guy. I'm quite fussy with the food that I eat. I like to make sure that I'm eating foods without sprays. I like to make sure that I'm eating foods that are as close to the natural state as possible. The less ingredients, the better. If it's a whole food, ideal. And I also like the idea that that just seems to complement recovery. If I feel good, I go into training with a better mindset. I'm also doing quite a lot of foam rolling and mobility work just in the evening. Like if Jesse and I sit down to watch a movie or a show or something, rather than sitting on the couch, I'll just sit down on the ground and do maybe 30 minutes of mobility work and a little bit of foam rolling. That's been really nice on my calves as well. So that's pretty much my training plan. There's running, there's strength in the form of gym and Pilates. There's also mobility and foam rolling. I'll probably get some more specific massage going a little bit closer to the marathon, but for the time being, my body seems to be handling it really well. I'm really enjoying it. I'm actually loving running. I can't remember ever loving running this much, at least since I was about the age of 16, which is nice. I think every week when I sit down to write the training programs of the athletes that I coach, for a long time, I was sitting there and I was like, oh man, I'm so jealous that these guys get to do the work. And so to actually sit down in that process and actually write out my own training program has been really fun as well. I don't have a coach as such. But I mean, the beauty of the podcast is I get to speak to so many incredible minds, bounce ideas off them, and they almost serve not so much as a coach as a mentor. And so that's been really valuable to me. I think it's always good to have someone in your side that you can just bounce ideas off. That's what I try and offer to the athletes that I work with. That's what I'm trying to get from a number of the guests that I have on the podcast. And so if you have any questions, if you have any comments, please let me know. But hey, I really hope you enjoy that. If you'd like to hear more of these episodes, I'd love to record more. I can keep you updated on the training journey, but I also want to make sure that I'm providing content here that you guys are actually interested in.
Thanks for listening to the Relaxed Running Podcast. If you're ready to become a faster, more efficient runner, visit www.relaxedrunning.com.